Good afternoon. It's good to be back after 2 weeks. Just taking some personal time off at Livingstone's Village. And it's good to be here. I think there's a lot of newcomers this afternoon. So I just want to especially welcome all of you to New Vine. And if you have any questions, I'm sure you can ask any of us wearing these types of name tags, and we can tell you more about New Vine or whatnot. And I really hope Gary and Jamie did not cook while I was away. Did you? Oh, shoot. That's what I look forward most to at New Vine. I bring you good news. I want to share this picture. And bring it up. Oh, okay. I got it. Eric and Vivian and Jesse and Daniel say hi from Livingstone's Village. They are doing well. This was just taken, Thursday? And they are really enjoying their time there. This is them at the coffee shop. And here's them in front of the sign. So they say hi, and they miss you. But they love Livingstone's Village so much that they're actually deciding to stay there long-term until further notice. So more details on that later. So let's go to our sermon today. I'm just kidding. They'll be back by the end of the month. I told Eric and Vivian that's what I'm going to say during the message, and then I'll stick it out to the very end so then you won't hear anything I say during the message. And I say, it'll be perfect because I don't have to prepare that much. All right, let me pray for us and then we'll get started. Dear God, thank you for this Sunday. Thank you, God, for so many new faces. Thank you for the privilege it is that we can gather to worship you. So God, I pray today for your presence to be ministering to each one of us, to each one of our lives, and we just welcome you to have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been going through a series called Next, and Next is talking about what's next for New Vine. And so continuing the series today, I'm going to be talking about Next, building the right kind of house. And the passage today comes out of 1 Chronicles 17, 1 through 15. So, let's read this passage together. 1, 2, 3. After David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in the house of cedar, while the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is under a tent." Nathan replied to David, "Whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is with you." But that night, the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build me a house to dwell in. I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought Israel up out of Egypt to this day. I have moved from one tent site to another, from one dwelling place to another. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their leaders, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. When your days are over and you go, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him, as I took it away from your predecessor. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever." Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. So here we see in these 15 verses, okay, the context is that there is King David of Israel. And King David, if you read in the chapters before in 1 Chronicles, he's recaptured Jerusalem and he's established it for Israel, calls it the City of David. The Ark of God has been brought to Jerusalem. And then in the preceding chapter, we read about how David has acquired a large army. And so even foreigners or people that are not Israelites come and join David's army. So Israel is in a pretty good spot right now. And David's doing well and things are looking good. And so somewhere in the midst of this, David says that he wants to build God a house. Up until now, the Ark of God has been resting in a tent. And so that's why David goes to Nathan, and Nathan is a prophet, a man of God, and he proposes this idea. He says, hey, look, all this time I have my own house, but the Ark of God is resting in a tent, so I want to build a house. And initially, how does Nathan respond? What does he say to David? He said, good idea, go for it, let's do it. And then, except that very night, the Lord speaks to Nathan, and what does God say to Nathan? He's like, I actually don't need a house. It's like, I've lived in a tent, I moved from here to here, and I don't need a house. You don't need to build me a house, he said. And then God says, actually, your descendant after you will build me a house. And that ends up being David's son. Do you remember who his son is? Solomon. And Solomon builds the temple. But even more interesting is that God does a reversal on him. And he says, I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. Interesting. When your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. And then you read on that actually God, even though David doesn't get it completely right, God still is pleased with him and he blesses him. And then in the next chapter, I think in 18, it talks about how over the course of time, David just takes over all of his enemies and God gives him rest and peace. So I think this is a good posture to take in our lives, right? David was inquiring of the prophet, a man of God. So David has an idea and he's like, I kind of want to do this. And so I think it's a good posture for us to take. So we seek godly counsel within community. So maybe when you don't know what to do, you reach out to someone, a godly man or a godly woman within your church community and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. What do you think? And I think that's a good thing. Now, this idea to build God a house, was it a right idea? Not completely, right? And so David has good intentions, but actually the way that it was supposed to be carried out wasn't how God wanted to do it. So actually there was some assumption. So it sounds like a good thing to build God a house, or it sounds like something that God would want to do, but then God might actually have a different plan. And I think this is such an important lesson, even for the church today, or for us as a church, including New Vine. Because I think sometimes in church, there's a lot of ideas, but I think the most important thing is to say, okay, Lord, but what do you want to do? And how do you want to do it? How do you want to build your house? So I think the most important thing is to seek the Lord's voice and his will, because not all of our ideas are exactly his. So it says here, this is God's response to David. He says, the Lord will build a house for you. when your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever." So when I was reading this, I said, that's really interesting, because David's initial idea is, I want to build a finite dwelling for the infinite God. And then God reverses it and he says, I'm going to build a infinite kingdom and involve a finite man. And so sometimes God's plans are like way bigger than anything that we can ever imagine. So David's plan, a finite man building an earthly dwelling for an infinite God. And then God's plan, involving a finite man into an eternal, infinite kingdom. So when I was reading this passage, I was like, I feel like this is one of the lessons that God has been teaching me. And when I was at Livingstone's Village, I felt like one of the things that the Lord revealed to me was that I have a performance spirit, or I have a performance mentality. And it was so nice, because when I was there, I didn't have to do anything. Like, I didn't have to lead. I didn't have to watch like other kids. Like, even Jesse and Daniel were running around and I didn't have to worry about them because Eric and Vivian were looking after them. And anyway, like, it felt really nice not to be in a leading capacity. And I think that was a good thing for me, because I think sometimes when you're in leadership for too long, you start to really think that you are really, really important. And for sometimes to take the back seat and say, hey, look, at least for me, say, hey, Elle, you're not that important, and things can get done even without you. And God doesn't necessarily need you, but rather you get to participate in it. But anyway, I was having some prayer time, and the Lord revealed to me that I have a spirit of performance. And initially, I didn't think that I did. But I think what the Lord further revealed was that, I don't know, I feel like for myself, sometimes being here in the Bay Area and serving in church ministry, like, there's always something to do, especially with our branch in San Jose. Like, every single weekend, like, and every single week, there's like a new event or there's something that we have to plan and whatnot. And then on the flip side, like, in my own life, sometimes I don't know if you can relate. It's like you always feel like there's another crisis at hand. Like, it's like every other week there's like something that's happening that's critical, and we have to react. And in my heart, like, what I'm thinking is like, this is spiritual warfare. This is a battle, and I need to do something. I need to pray. I need to fix the problem. I need to fix the issue. And I think prior to LSV, like, I felt that way for so many months, and it was just, to be honest, it was like really tiring. But that's the way that I viewed it. I just said, this is just how it is when you live a life with the Lord, is that we're constantly in battle. And the Lord said to me, he said, yeah, there are issues, but the way that you react is critical. And he was showing me that the way that I react to my issues is through a lot of anxiety, worry, anxiousness, and things like that. But I legitimized it in my head, because I'm saying, well, I'm doing it for God, because this is a spiritual battle. And actually, the Lord said to me, you don't have to react in that way. And even when you are anxious for me and worried for me, that still is the performance spirit. And so, like, I'll give you an example. Like, sometimes preparing for a sermon is really difficult. Like, I'll tell you my process. Here's a sneak peek. So I'm like, first you got to pray and say, all right, Lord, what do you want to say? And he was like, well, how do you know what the Lord wants to do? And then so my thought process is like, okay, well, what do I think? What do I think the people need? No, it's not what I want them to hear. It's what God wants them to hear. And then so I'm thinking, I say, okay, I think I'll start on this passage. And then you're going through the passage and you can interpret it in a million different ways. And I'm like, all right, but I want to try to do this with integrity. And I don't want to turn this sermon into a soapbox for me to talk about myself and whatnot. And then along that process, you say, okay, maybe I can put in some illustrations. You say, don't put the cheesy ones in there. You say, you got to make it personal, because if it's not personal, then people never relate to you. And then I'm like, okay, maybe I'll say this or maybe I won't. And then so even all the way up till I step onto stage, I'm constantly changing it until I get up here. And then even afterwards, then I'm like, did I say the right thing? And then on the way back home, I'm like repeating everything that I said in my head. And said, oh, I think I should have, I don't think I should have put that person in my illustration. Or Lord, I don't think I did a good job. It's like, and all of these ideas like run through my head. And then there are some days where like, I think that was really good. But then I'm just entirely exhausted. And so Angus can testify that sometimes after Nuvan, I just go home and I lay on our fuzzy carpet. And I'm like, I'm so exhausted. And they're like, you want to eat some carne asada fries? And we're like, okay, let's go. Yeah, Sergio. We had a really good burrito the other day. I'll tell you about it later. Burritos are not actually Mexican. Yeah, but anyway. No, it's an American invention, right? They don't have burritos in Mexico. Anyway, so like, that's how I was functioning for a long time. And I just kind of assumed like, well, this is just how you got to do it. And well, you just got to suck it up, L. Like, this is how ministry looks like. And yeah, we're in a spiritual battle and stop complaining and whatnot. And then the Lord said to me, say, are you even enjoying this? Like, are you even enjoying ministry? Do you have fun? Like, and my response was, there's no time to be joyful. It's like, I have no bandwidth. I'm trying to serve you, Lord. And then that's when the Lord spoke to me. He said, that is the performance spirit. You strive so hard to serve me, and the intention is good, but the execution is wrong. And I said, okay, then what am I supposed to do? And I think one thing the Lord shared with me was out of this verse. So it says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. And I felt like God was saying to me, he said, I am concerned, but I am not anxious. And he said, we can look at our lives, and sure, there are like a lot of crisis moments, but the response for me was just fix it. All right, pray on the side and hope God will fix the rest. And I felt like God was saying to me, like, even in how I react to ministry or how I react to crisis moments, even in that, I must submit to how the Lord wants to do it and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And I felt like a hypocrite, because a lot of times I stand up here on stage and I say, listen to the Holy Spirit, listen to his voice. But I realized that a lot of times even I can miss it in ministry. Is I did a lot of things because I assumed that's what God wanted me to do, but I didn't slow down enough to listen to how the Holy Spirit wanted to do it. In the San Jose branch, I've been running a school of worship. So it's been for, the current format is 5 Saturdays, you know, in a row, and we teach about worship and things like that. And I think I realized that I was kind of on autopilot mode. So after we finish the spring, immediately I start planning for the fall, and I'm like, okay, we're going to just do it again and whatnot. And I think one of the things the Lord said to me was like, well, even for that, what if God wanted to do it a completely different way? What if the format could look completely different? What if it wasn't even at SJCC? What if it was at a different location? But I didn't have room or space to think about those types of questions because I was just doing, and assuming that God wanted me to do it. And so, you know, like even now, I feel like I need to take a step back and say, okay, even for the school of worship, Lord, like, is there a different way you want to do it? Maybe completely different or whatnot, but just taking space to listen to how the Holy Spirit wants to do it. And I think for a lot of us that serve in church or even in our own personal lives, sometimes we automatically assume that this is the right thing to do, so we just do it. But I think it would be a good thing to kind of slow down and say, how does God want to do it, right? Because David is like, well, yeah, of course, it's good to build a house for God. And then God actually responds and corrects him a little bit and says, okay, you can build a house, but that's not really important. Your son will build it, but I'm going to build a house for you. And I think the even more amazing and prophetic part is that he says, I'm going to establish David's line forever, right? And his offspring, it says, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. And I was reading that passage, and I say, obviously, it's talking about Solomon. I say, is it also talking about Jesus, right? Because Jesus came from the line of David, and his kingdom is actually the eternal kingdom that lasts forever and ever. And I still have no conclusion. Do you guys? Is he talking about Solomon or Jesus? Or maybe both? Okay. I don't know. Go home and exegete that or what. But I was like, isn't that so amazing that when David submits himself to the Lord, actually God does above and beyond anything that David can imagine. And I think that's also true for our lives, is that when we submit our lives to God and not just do and just automatically go on autopilot, but just slow down and say, how do you want to do it? I think sometimes the Lord can give us insight or inspiration or even completely change what we're doing so that he can get more of the glory. And then I was also reading this passage this past week. Let's read this one together. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. And it was just a reminder for me that, hey, all right, it doesn't matter if you're the most talented person or if you're the strongest person, the most intellectual. Actually, God doesn't care about that. What kind of people is the Lord looking for? What type of people does the Lord take delight in? And I think this is a critical question. And then this verse, it's not what you would expect, right? It says, the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. So I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, what does it mean to fear the Lord? And when I was little, I got it confused with being afraid of God. So I say, does it mean like being afraid of God? But actually, to fear the Lord means to hate sin or to shun evil. It says, fear the Lord and shun evil. In this way, you'll bring nourishment to your bones and whatnot. And so to fear the Lord is to hate sin, shun evil, and I think also to walk in obedience to him. And then the second part, right? Put their hope in his unfailing love. To put my hope in his unfailing love is to not hope in this world, not hope in man or people fundamentally, but to find my total acceptance, sustenance, status, and achievement in his love. So maybe we're like, okay, who accepts me? Who really knows me and accepts me? It's like God. If there's nobody that accepts you, at least there's one person, right? Abba Father. Abba Father accepts you. Abba Father loves you. And then what is my status before God? Well, my status before God is that I am his child. I am his son. I am a daughter of God, and he loves me. I think when we understand that as our fundamental identity, like everything flows from that place. I'm not primarily a worker for God. I am not primarily a server for God. I'm not primarily a ministry leader for God. I'm not primarily whatever it is. The first one is I'm a daughter. I am a son of God, and he loves me. And when I put my hope in that unfailing love, then I find meaning for everything that I'm able to do. Or it's like sustenance. How am I sustained? For a lot of you guys living in the Bay Area, we are very busy people, agreed? Some of us less busy, but I think in general, on average, compared maybe to the rest of the nation, we're a pretty busy area. And how do you deal with the 100 things that you need to do every single day to be sustained by God's love? And then lastly, which I was talking about for myself, is how can I do it? And if I don't fundamentally understand that it's out of the love of God that he loves me, and I never have to do anything to earn God's favor or his pleasure, but that I'm fundamentally his child, then out of that flows the ability for me to do and to do things with him. And so I think that's one of the things that I'm going to have to take home for myself, is that even as I think about the future things that for ministry or whatnot, is how does God want to do it? And is there a different way that he wants to do it? And Holy Spirit, help me to be sensitive enough to catch what you're doing, and that I won't just fall into a doer mindset instead of being before the Lord. Because I think in church, it can happen that way. We can become a doer church. We can become like Martha instead of Mary. And it's not to say the things that we're doing is all bad, but maybe God has a different way of doing it. All right, New Vine, we're all busy in our personal lives. I know at the San Jose branch, it is so busy. Like it seems like there's always another event going on, and I'm concerned sometimes that we're not stopping enough to think, are we doing what God wants us to do? Is it, you know, maybe he has a better thing that he wants to do and whatnot. And I'm myself guilty of that. And so I think that's what God is looking for us as a New Vine community. I think if we just kept saying, okay, more attendance, get more people in this room, give more money, build more programs, things like that, it's like the strength of a horse or the legs of a warrior. And I don't think God is looking for that even in a church body. I think as New Vine, it's good to take the posture of saying, God, as a New Vine community, we want to fear you. We want to hate sin, shun evil. We want to walk in obedience to you. And then the second part, Lord, as a New Vine community, we want to hope in your unfailing love. And I think however God and whatever God wants to do with his church, let it be, right? What if we never grew to 1,000 people? Some part of me is like, okay, so what, right? That's not the important thing. That's not what God is looking for. It's like, well, what if we don't have the best children's program? It's like, okay, like, at least we're trusting in him and walking in the fear of the Lord and loving him. And however the Lord wants to do it, he'll do it. And you know what the amazing thing is that I love about New Vine is that even though we're small and even though we haven't been around for too long, like, there is just a constant flow of testimonies of what God is doing, right? And even during family time or just getting to hear some of the stories from you guys, it is pretty amazing of the things that God is doing in this community. And the even more amazing part is none of us can attribute it to anything that we did, right? It is all the hand and the work of God. And that's the type of church I want to be in. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to be part of a church that says, look how much we built. Look at our fancy, you know, this or that. And I want my life to say, look how much God has done. But then also for the church, I feel like that's a good thing too. It's like, look how much God has done in this community and in this body. And that's how our posture should be for our life, right? It's never, Jesus, look how much I did for you. But true worship is, Jesus, look at everything you did for me. And I'm so grateful. And I think that's a good posture to take for New Vine too, is God, may New Vine be a church that it just speaks of the testimony of God. And then church becomes so much easier that way, because we're not striving, and then just get a little bit of output or fruit or whatnot. But when the Holy Spirit is here, when his presence is here, when the people fear the Lord, and when they hope in his unfailing love, then I think God is pleased, and we trust his timing to do whatever God desires to do in New Vine. Amen. So I think maybe we can spend some time praying, and maybe we'll divide into two parts. The first part, I want us to respond to God for our personal lives. And so, you know, for myself, I was sharing about how I have this performance spirit or just striving so much. And if you relate to that, or if that's something that you want to lay down before the Lord, I want to spend the first part that you can just pray for yourself. And maybe just lay any performance spirit or striving before the Lord. And then the second part, I want us to pray for our church as New Vine community, that we would be a body that fears the Lord and hopes in his unfailing love, and that God's presence would be pleased to dwell here. So if you are a newcomer to New Vine, maybe try to find someone that is wearing one of these name tags, and we can kind of divide ourselves up. But maybe we could stand during this time and maybe form a group, maybe around 3 to 5-ish. So we can come get into groups now. And if you don't know each other, you can introduce yourselves, say your names and whatnot. All right, everybody have a group. All right, so let's take the next couple minutes just praying for yourself. Allow the Lord to speak to you. Anything you want to lay down, performance or striving, you just lay that before the Lord. And one by one, you guys can pray. Let's take the next couple minutes to pray about that. Gonna bring it back together, so you can turn this way, and I'll just bless you. You can close your eyes and hold out your hands. And so I bless you today that Abba Father is so pleased with you, and I feel like the Father is saying you don't have to do anything, you don't have to strive, you don't have to perform. It will never change the way that I love you. And so I bless you today to soak in Abba Father's love and to know that everything was completed already through him, and that there's nothing you can add to it and there's nothing you can take away. I feel like also the Lord saying, just says, come to me. I'm so pleased when you come and you ask me questions, or when you inquire of me. And when you come to me, I'll give you my insight. I'll give you my wisdom. I'll show you a better way to do it. And I will help you along the way. And so even in your questioning and the worry and anxiety, that I can help you. So bless you today that you would seek the Lord and inquire of him, just like David asked of Nathan. And you can ask for God's insight and that the Lord is quick to respond. Even in the same night, God responded. So bless you that as you cry out and as you ask the Lord questions, that God is going to respond to you, and He loves it when His children ask. I bless you that your life would speak the testimony of God, that it won't be, look how much I have done, but look how much God has done. And God, we claim the same thing for New Vine today, that this place would continually be a testimony of what God has done through the people and through this church, Lord. And God, we claim also today that you will involve us and involve this church, God, in the kingdom, God. Let it not just be another social gathering or whatnot, Lord, but let it truly be a force for the kingdom. And let each one of our lives have be a part of your infinite kingdom, God. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.